You're in the mix with Bart Cop Radio.
This country takes place in the transfer of the wealth from the poor to the rich. I'm sorry that you don't like class and the truth, my friend, but you just stuck with it. And the poor have been systematically looted in this country. The rich have been made richer under this criminal fascist president and his government.
You know, I doubt that George Carlin even knows what a Bart Cop is, but doesn't it sound a little like he's been reading it?
George, you think is looting okay if there's no hurricane?
I know how much you hate the poker analogies, but this guy should be punished for even saying that. And when you say something that's, is it okay to steal because you're a liberal? Hey, asshole. Oh, see, now earlier when I said I would have gone for his throat, they would have pulled me off him and we would have sat down and we'd have continued to talk. And he would not have said that. Is it okay to steal if you're a liberal? He would not have said that because he knows that I'm going to come after him. You know, I don't know why people don't get that. When he says something that stupid the first time and you let it go, they think, oh, I got these people cowed. I got these people bullied. I can say whatever I want. But the first time, that's what they do in poker. Someone raises you, whatever, I don't know, on TV they play a different level, but if someone raises you 10,000 and you re-raise 100,000, boy, that really makes you feel strange next time it's your turn to bet. Oh my God, if I bet something here, this guy is liable to re-raise me 10 times what I put in, so maybe I just won't bet this time. That's how it works in poker, and that's how it works in a debate. If you go for the guy's throat the first time he says something extra stupid, then he's probably not going to say something extra stupid that second time. You know, he might hold back a second time, maybe a third time, and that fourth time when he says, so, it's okay if you steal, if you're a liberal, it's okay to steal if there's a Harry King, is it okay to steal? Then you just go for his throat.
I think one of the things that happened in New Orleans was something that I think every American should fear in similar circumstances. Anybody who went through, let's say, the blackout in New York understands this, which is a breakdown in order. That's something you need to fear. The idea of mobs, whatever their race is, coming down to your neighborhood, banging down your door, stealing what you have. This is something to worry about. It is something serious that we should worry about, a breakdown in order.
On this point, he's right, and that's why I own guns. I don't understand people that don't own guns. Sure, if you got a house full of kids, you need to make other plans. I don't know how you do that. A locked-up gun, I guess, is better than no gun. You know, if you're asleep at night and you hear a window break and you can hear men whose voices you don't recognize talking inside your house, yeah, at that point, I guess it's better to have a locked gun somewhere and you have a key nearby. But the idea, what do you liberals do? What are you going to do if you wake up and you hear men's voices you don't recognize inside your house? What are you going to do? Pray? Are you going to pick up the phone? You know, I don't know much about being a burglar. If I was going to rob somebody, I would cut the phone line first. It just seems to me that's burglar 101. Yeah, hey, dude, let me teach you how to break into a house. First thing, you cut the phone line. How many people have their cell phone next to their bed? Maybe everyone does but me, but as a rule, we got a regular phone near the bed. If someone's in my house, uninvited, in the middle of the night, I don't need a phone. I just don't understand. What is with you liberals who don't want to protect yourself? Please, someone explain it to me.
I think that mistakes were made.
Oh,
there's no doubt about it.
Oh boy.
And they were made at the local.
Oh boy.
They were made at the local, the state, and the national level.
Sure.
But let's not lose sight of what this is. This was a terrible hurricane. Imagine if no mistakes were made. How many people would have died?
Not near the number.
Oh. Were mistakes made on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi?
I'm sure there were.
Well, that appears to be where most of the people have died.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
You think there's going to be...
We don't know yet.
There was a report today that deaths in New Orleans are going to be much lower than they were originally anticipated to be.
For some reason, this always works in Bush's favor, and it's one of the many things I fail to understand. If we think there's going to be 20,000 dead, but it turns out there's only 10, then somehow that makes Bush a good president. And I don't understand that. Under Clinton, we might have had 500 dead. I mean, wild guess, who can say, but Bill Clinton wouldn't have waited 4 days to go in. Bill Clinton wouldn't have vetoed the money to strengthen the levees. You know, one other thing that we need to say, and there's never the right time to say it, so let me just throw it out there. Have you ever been to the Waffle House? And have you ever noticed that when you put syrup on your waffle, you have to put it all over the waffle? If you have a stack of pancakes, you just pour some syrup on top of the pancakes and it runs everywhere, like, say, water in a flood. But if you have a waffle and you put syrup on your waffle, you don't have to fill up every square. But it's just like the Titanic. Do you remember why they thought the Titanic was unsinkable? Because in the old days, what's called 1800s, if you got a hole in your boat, it sank. So they came up with the idea for the Titanic that what if you put a whole bunch of different compartments in the boat, then it wouldn't sink because there's no way to flood all the compartments equally. Turned out, and I still to this day don't understand how ice tore through several inches of steel. That's still a puzzler to me. But they had the right idea. They just didn't. I don't know if they didn't make the compartment small enough, or if it was just the one in a million that somehow that slice opened up all those different compartments. But that's the trick to saving New Orleans. If they're going to build it again, I think Dennis Hester might have been right. It's probably not a great idea to rebuild as is. If it's not possible to bring in enough dirt to raise the entire city above sea level, then I suggest you go with the waffle premise, which is the maps I've seen of New Orleans haven't done a very good job, because you can't look at it and tell what's above and below sea level and where the walls go and where the canals go and that kind of stuff. But seems to me if you just build enough canals in enough places, divide the city, say, into 30 sections, and in a monster hurricane like this, you might have 5 sections flood. Well, that means you can get relief from the other 25 sections. Seemed like it wouldn't be that hard to do. But the way it looks now, if 2 levees break, the entire city goes underwater. That's not a good idea. So if we're going to rebuild it, let's build 30 different sections, so only a couple of sections are going to flood at a time. Doesn't that make sense?
And speaking of tsunami, President Bush didn't even know what a tsunami was. That's why that nigga only gave $5 million. He like, Akima Sabe. Fuck wrong with the Indians? I love President Bush. I wish he could be president for 30 more years. Every time I hear that white man talk, ooh, Lord, he give me self-esteem. I be waking my woman up, bitch, I could be president. I'm smarter than this white man. This ain't no John F. Kennedy here. No, this ain't no goddamn John F. Kennedy. This the white man from the liquor store. Here, take this $100, put it in my campaign. I'm running, bitch. Give me some flyers and everything. Bush, ooh, original gangster, OG. So Saddam Hussein, you better not have a firecracker over there. He wasn't playing. I don't understand it, though, but see, he did what I would have did if I was president. Hell with having a right-hand man. I'd give me a right-hand woman. And I've been on this earth for 40 years, and I never met a bitch named Connalisa. I don't know where he found this loyal-ass black woman. This bitch went to Congress with a bad perm and lied to Congress and told everybody. I'm like, shit. Black man knows it's hard to get your woman to go anywhere with a bad hairdo. I can't even get my bitch to lie to my supervisor. He ain't sick. He drunk. Give me that phone, bitch. You ain't no Connalisa. And I couldn't vote for Kerry any goddamn way. As a man, you already hit the lottery of life. Fuck you want to be president for? You don't need no gig. You got a bitch that's worth $1 billion. You supposed to be sitting on the couch just chilling. Somebody walk in the house, get a job. Fuck you, nigga. My bitch on ketchup. I ain't got to do shit. Every time somebody order french fries, nigga, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. You better find that bitch with barbecue sauce and come on in. Oh, Lord, that's why I'm upset with Stedman. Fuck wrong with this brother. I can't close that case with Oprah. See, that's what happened when you send a light-skinned dude to do a real nigga job. Ooh, my ass. Talking about he leaving Oprah because she overshadowed his face and his name. Nigga, please. If I would get Oprah, man, I'd give all this shit up. Fuck a job. Fuck a dream. That bitch is a dream. I let Oprah know I love her ass. Wouldn't be no doubt I changed my name to Hop Up.
Are citizens of the most powerful country on the planet, the most powerful military in history. And yet, day after day, we are watching those black people stuck in horrendous conditions, people literally dying, waiting for help to arrive. People think, well, what could the explanation possibly be?
Yeah.
Because the federal government could certainly respond if they wanted to. It may not have been a rational response.
So you think they all sat, yeah, they sat around and said, oh, well, it's black people, so we're going to wait a few weeks before we respond.
It's in the subconscious. Yes, it's in the subconscious.
What's the answer to the question? If you know that your government is able to respond but hasn't, that the 82nd Airborne could get anywhere in 18 hours but not New Orleans.
Yeah. That is as good a summary as I've heard so far, but we can't get a Republican to answer the question. If the airborne can get anywhere on the planet in 18 hours, why did it take them 4 days to get to Louisiana? If somebody would just answer the question, then some of the anger would die down. Well, it's hard to let go of the anger when your parents and your children are dead, but please just answer the question. It's not that hard. Just tell us what happened. If someone made a mistake, you know, we can maybe forgive that and move on. But to refuse to answer the question, that proves you're hiding something. We just want to know what. And as you know, the BFEE has a history of hiding things. That's why Poppy Bush pardoned all the Iran-Contra felons to prevent anybody from going to trial. Remember, Weinberger was about to go to trial. And Bush decided, we can't have that, because Weinberger told Bush, I'm not doing time for you.
I think we're going to learn the answers. Some of the answers are, for example, that the governor of Louisiana refused to allow the federalization of the National Guard. Unbelievable.
You know, I wish I had a staff, because I don't think that's true. I heard a little bit of Randy Rhodes Friday. She closed her show with this. And I believe since the Patriot Act, once a catastrophe has hit, the federal government is in charge. I don't think there's an option there. I think Bush, in his zeal to grab power, to have total power over everything, totally, completely, 100%, I think that's written in the Patriot Act that Bush personally controls everything if there's a catastrophe. And now they're trying to blame somebody else, because when the monkey had the control stick in his hands, he fucked it up. And they're ashamed of that. But they can't tell the truth. They can't say, hey, our guy dropped the ball. It won't happen again. Bush can't say, I'm sorry. Bush can't say, I made a mistake. Instead of telling us the truth, they start playing the blame game. That blame game only works going down. It doesn't go up.
Parents, it's that time of year again when the bishops and priests from around the country are organizing the Young Men's Catholic Retreat. This year, we're taking the boys on a weekend boat trip to discuss Jesus' role as the navigator of our lives.
That sounds pretty fun.
A Catholic boat trip?
The Catholic boat's gonna be heading on out today. The Catholic boat, time to throw all of your cares away. Get some hot Christian action that'll take you...
Look, I just don't think it's the best idea to let our boys go on a cruise with the priest. We can't let them go, can we?
There's no way my son's going.
What are they talking about? I don't know. Maybe they want to kill us!
With everything that's been in the news, I think it's best we keep our kids far away from the priest.
Now, come on, everybody. Just because a few priests of the country have been corrupted doesn't mean that all priests are child molesters.
Well, sure, that's easy for you to say. Your son's dead.
I've heard about other towns bringing in counselors that know how to find things out from kids without really telling them what's going on.
It couldn't hurt. All right, then, it's settled. Tomorrow we'll find an outside counselor and find out the truth.
Hi, boys. My name is Miss Garage, and I need to ask you a few questions about your priest, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Would you say that Father Maxie is nice or mean?
He's very nice.
Yeah. Cool.
And did Father Maxie, at any time, ever try to put something in your butt?
In our butt?
You don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. Just, did he ever try to put anything in your butt?
Like money? What? You mean like a goldfish?
No, no. Did he ever try to put anything that belonged to him in your butt?
What would the priest possibly want to put in our butts? Hey, dudes.
Hey.
What are you guys doing?
We had to go meet with this counselor lady, and she asked us if the priest ever put anything in our butts.
In your butts? Yeah, isn't that the damnedest thing? Why would he put anything in your butts?
We don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Hello there, children.
Chef, what would a priest want to stick up my butt?
Goodbye.
Nobody's going to tell us. This is going to drive me insane. Calm down, Tweak. There has to be a rational explanation.
Fathers, I want to thank you all for coming.
No, thank you for finally organizing an all-priest meeting, Father Maxie. I think we all agree something has to be done quickly.
Well, I don't know how it's been for all of you, but attendance at my church in Fort Rollins is down 63%.
I'm down almost 70 in Greenleaf.
Yes, I'm afraid if things keep going the way they are, we could lose our entire religion.
Yes, we've got to stop these boys from going to the public.
They've got to know to keep their mouths shut.
Right, and so... Wait a minute, what?
Yes, but we've got to find out why these children are suddenly finding it necessary to report that they're being molested. Stop the problem at its source.
Yes, but how?
Whoa, hold on a second. The problem is that children are being molested, not that they're reporting it.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, obviously what we need to put a stop to is all the sexual misconduct that is allowed to take place in our churches. Not just tell the children not to tell anybody about it. I mean... Right?
Or did any of the children you've molested come forward?
No!
Well, that's good.
No, I mean, I never molested any of the children in my church.
It's okay, Father Maxie. We're all priests here. The doors are closed.
Oh, for the love of God! Are you all saying that you have engaged in inappropriate relations with your altar boys? We are here to bring the light of God, not harm the innocent.
Get the f*** out of here.
Privacy, equality, the right to choose. Fundamental freedoms Americans have cherished for generations. But John Roberts dismisses one of our established liberties as the so-called right to privacy and co-wrote a brief arguing that Roe v. Wade should be overruled. Roberts' legal record raises questions on whether he accepts the right to privacy. There's just too much at stake to let John Roberts become a decisive vote on the Supreme Court.
This is being recorded on, hell, I don't know what day it is, but I'm looking at John Roberts on the TV, and as I'm recording this, I'm getting a hand job from Patrick Leahy, and I got to tell you, I've had better. I don't know why the Democrats are going through this charade. It's one giant hand job, and who's it for? What is today? Tuesday the 13th. Trust me, the headline in the Wednesday USA Today, and I hope to get this up before Wednesday, is going to be Democrats grill Roberts real tough. But what the hell does it matter? They're going to vote for him, every one of them, because he's a good, honest guy. They've already told us that. He's a good, honest guy. He's a decent man. So why should they bother to get in his way just because they're going to dismantle a woman's right to privacy? For whom are they putting on this dog and pony show? I hope it's not for my benefit. I've seen this fucking movie. I know how it ends. Jesus Christ. What's he gonna take?
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Immediately after, hit by an outside threat, a terrorist attack which stunned the nation, we all became one America.
And I wish this had happened this time.
Even though we had been divided by the election of George Bush, who was put in the White House by the Supreme Court. But what did the Republicans do with that? They used it against the Democrats. When they ran for re-election for Congress, they blamed Democrats for being soft on terrorism. So what did they get for rallying around the president? They got the teeth kicked in.
That is a big problem for the Democrats. They're not able to learn. And it's not that they won't listen to me, but even when it happens to them again and again, they refuse to learn. When George Bush says, we need to all pull together as one America, and then they morph Max Cleland into Osama. How dare you? Man lost two legs and an arm in Vietnam, and you're turning him into Osama to win an election. And you want to talk to us about capitalizing on a tragedy? You sons of bitches. If I was in charge, I would make you pay for that. But no, I'm stuck in a party of wimps who believe surrender is always the best option. I hate that. How did I end up in a party where surrender is always the best option? It just kills me every time. But there's nowhere else to go.
Governor Bush, and I call him that because that's really the last thing he was elected to. Governor Bush, when he reaches his Christian heaven, he's going to have a lot to answer for. Second, what I want to say is this. I think Jim is doing a good job of demonstrating, and this show is, the difference between left and right of center. The conservatives, the right of center, are interested in property values. Property rights are the rights and the rights of property. And generally speaking, again, it's all generalized. The left of center people are more concerned with humans and human beings and human concerns, to the care of humans, not the care and the worry about property rights. That's generally been true, and Bush is pushing this country farther down the hill faster than anyone has before.
I think that's real true. I think the number one play in the Republicans' book is tax cuts, and they always say we deserve to have the money, not the government, but of course it's a big, big lie. Has anyone that's listening to this gotten a refund from Bush? I remember I got $300 that first year. I haven't gotten a dime since. And services have gone down. Local taxes have gone up. The infrastructure has gone way, way down. And you can just ask the people of New Orleans how the infrastructure is doing for them. But he's right about the Republicans. They care about property. Oh, sure, they have some abortion issues in the background that they use to fool the religious right. But mostly, it's about greed. It's about material things. They don't care if the darkies are starving. They don't care if disease is running rampant. They don't care if there's problems in the world as long as they don't affect them. They've always lived behind the wall, the shining city on the hill, and anybody who can't make it into the shining city on the hill doesn't deserve to because somehow God decided they weren't worth it. It's always been about class with them. If you've got $100 million, Bush will talk to you. If you've got $100, get out of the way. But yet somehow, again, we must blame the Democrats. Somehow, the Republicans convince the poor people that if you want to get out of your poorhouse, vote for a tax cut for Bill Gates. And people think, oh, okay, even though it's been proven time and again that doesn't work. Clinton showed you. Remember, Rush had a big thing about, Rush asked his people, elsewhere in the show I mentioned how the Republicans would egg on the crazies to go not quite attack Clinton. But I remember Rush said, if you ever get near Clinton, ask him if what nation has ever taxed themselves into prosperity. And someone did. Someone ran into Clinton on a golf course, and he said, hey, Mr. Clinton, tell me what country ever taxed itself into prosperity. And the answer is the United States, 1993 to 2000. Clinton raised taxes on the super, super rich, and what did we get? Prosperity. Oodles and oodles of it. We got so much prosperity, Arby's was hanging signs out. Please, $8-$9 an hour, please, somebody come to work here. Please, we need workers desperately. Stock market tripled. Unemployment fell to new lows. It was just the best we ever had, if you take away the fabricated scandals. But yes, the Republicans always out to better themselves at the expense of the poor people. That's why Bush got elected president. Look at the oil companies with their billions in profits. That's what happens when you let an oil man in the White House, someone who doesn't care about the people.
George Bush has demonstrated, I think, at this point, that he's not great in a crisis. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Could you at least agree that he's not good in a crisis? I mean, I used to torture Republicans with the seven-minute question.
No, I agree with that, Bill. I mean, it is unfortunate, but he's not good in a crisis. I mean, he doesn't... But I also think... Bill, I got stuff, man. But I also think that his cleanup squad is not that good either.
Check it out. This guy, Jim, just told the truth. These Republicans are just like the devil. They mix lies with the truth. It's so confusing because if they would just lie all the time, then you could just go the opposite direction of whatever they say. But this guy just said not only is Bush bad in a crisis, but his team is bad in a crisis too. After all this first half hour of him saying, oh, it wasn't Bush's fault, it was the other guy, oh, it was the biggest storm ever, after all these excuses, and I didn't even hear Bill Maher beat him into submission. He just decided that he just forgot or something and the truth slipped out. I bet they hate when that shit happens.
Thoughts of the shadows of feelings, always darker, emptier, and simpler. I don't care if they're fake or real. I didn't think they were showing up at all. I'm black, serious, who is not. But they do not have me. They are not a part of illness, but a part of my being. Though I say I have the courage to have them. Before God in the morning, it sucks.
The scandals in both women's backgrounds, with all things being equal, are Janine and Hillary well-matched contestants. Eleanor Clift.
Well, first of all, I want to watch all the Republicans who got so upset about Hillary's husband. I want to see how they're going to finesse Jeanine's the situation. But that aside, I think these are two smart, talented women. They're both progressives. Pirro is pro-choice, pro-gay rights, so she's an old-style New York Republican before the party was captured by the right. I mean, I think this is a win-win situation for both these women, and I hope we banish the phrase catfight from our vocabulary, but for Hillary, if she wins, which is likely, it becomes a real victory and she gets battle ready if she wants to run for president. And Pirro wants to run for governor. She gets better known and she's got a television career that could use a boost. I mean, I think it's a good all around. Good for the voters, too.
Hillary is very strong in the state and including in upstate New York. She's worked very hard as a senator and has established herself as a much more popular candidate than she did when she ran first.
Hillary has the Democratic strongholds in an iron grip. She's competitive in Long Island, which leans somewhat Republican.
Right.
She's competitive in red state, upstate New York.
Right.
Correct?
Hillary Clinton is an extremely strong candidate for the state of New York. Again, Eleanor is correct. There's not that great a difference between them on the issues.
Your chances zero to ten.
I think this is a kamikaze rock. The Republicans will feed her raw, tough stuff to go after Hillary and cut her up for the year 2008.
I'd give her somewhere between 0 and 0.5. That's it. I mean, it's 95% a Hillary landslide, not just a victory.
I'll give her a 2.
Listening to Bart Cop Radio.
As I outlined to you in your office, we would be very happy to have the chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your